Hello and welcome to a Data Management Podcast. I'm Justin O'Coin, Assistant Site Editor for Search Data Management. We're here today to talk about data warehouse architecture with Evan Levy. Evan is a partner and co-founder of Baseline Consulting, a technology and management consulting firm specializing in business analytics and data integration, and is widely acknowledged as a data management expert. Evan is here with us today to share his insight and advice on hub-and-spoke architecture. Welcome, Evan.
Thanks. It's good to be here, Justin. I'm looking forward to our discussion today.
Great. Now, can you give us some background about how the hub-and-spoke environment came about?
Certainly. I think one of the challenges that occurred early on as data warehouses were maturing is you had organizations with centralized data warehouses where all the data came in and people had access to the data. And then you had the creation of data marts. They were specific point solutions for very, very specific business analysis and reporting challenges. I think one of the problems or things that became apparent is, if I have a data mart, where do I get the data from? So you had two schools of thought. You had Inman and Company that said, hey, we want to have only dependent data marts. Data within a data mart can only be provided from a data warehouse. You had another school, Kimball and a few others, that said, you know something, the data mart should get the data where it needs to get it from. So thus the concept of an independent data mart. I think to cut it into very obvious terms, the reason we have data warehousing, the reason we have data marts is to give business users the data they need. They shouldn't be encumbered by architectures and models and paperwork. They should be assisted and supported with giving them the data they need. I think the thing to keep in mind is the bus architecture assumes that every piece of data in a data mart is an enterprise-level piece of content that is available or should be available to everybody, so thus I can put it all in the data warehouse first, and then each data mart extracts a subset of what it requires. The fact is business is not that straightforward, nor is business that simple. A lot of data marts are departmental, organizational, or functional in focus, so to assume that all the data they need within their business requirements is an enterprise-level element is ridiculous. There may actually be specific business-centric data that needs to come from a specific operational system, needs to come from a third-party external data asset, and needs to be formulated or structured in a manner that's specific to that business need. It seems kind of crazy to me that if I have a specific business need that requires non-enterprise data to burden the data hub, the enterprise data warehouse, with carrying data that has only one specific need. In fact, I'd say it's a very ineffective use of content. But once again, the premise of a hub-and-spoke architecture is any spoke can be data user or a data creator, and all data must pass through the hub to get from a data creator to a data consumer.
Okay, now what are some of the challenges of a hub-and-spoke approach? Does it work in some situations but not in others?
You know, absolutely. I don't think you'd see what's been written about a hub-and-spoke data warehouse architecture and conclude it's anything other than successful. Of course it's a successful approach. There's no argument about that. But I think the thing to keep in mind is no real-world circumstance is as crisp as a one-page diagram. I mean, if you take a look at what most companies are dealing with when it comes to data, it's not as simple as a hub-and-spoke or a bus architecture. Really, it's a data supply chain. And what's really, really fascinating to me is you find a lot of the theorists focusing on very, very simplistic examples for distribution. Well, take a look at the retail industry, or take a look at any other industry that really understands the whole premise of supply chain. I've got multiple inbound inputs of my parts. In our world, that's data. I actually have circumstances within the data supply chain that is a value-added component. Now, in a data warehousing world, that means that maybe I've cleansed the data, maybe I've augmented it, maybe I've enriched it, and that's all goodness, whether it's an incomplete address, whether it's a misspelling or a misrepresentation of a value. That's the value add that a data warehouse can provide. But you know something? Not everybody needs that value add. So there's also multiple outputs on a supply chain to fulfill the needs of the end consumer. The thing that I think is important to understand is, what is it that I need? Now, you take the pieces or components of an architecture and you apply them accordingly. The fact is, we've seen with airlines, yeah, many of them started as a hub and spoke. In fact, Federal Express with package shipments used to send every package through Memphis. The fact is, as their needs got more sophisticated and complex, Their supply chain became more sophisticated and complex. And the fact is, FedEx is not encumbered by a purely hub-and-spoke environment. Yes, many packages go through Memphis, but many of them, because of the volumes, go direct from source to destination. If you take a look at the retail world, whether it be grocery or direct general merchandising, we often see that, yes, they use distribution centers for much of their merchandise. But for a lot of the high-volume specialized content, manufacturers deliver directly to the stores. So I'd say the thing that people need to realize is, how sophisticated is your data warehousing environment? More importantly, how sophisticated is your data integration environment? Because we can start with a hub-and-spoke system, but is my data warehouse requirements solely focused on feeding data to a data mart? Is it focused on feeding data to actual end-user applications where people are logging on to the data warehouse? Or, in fact, is there a need to merge this integration infrastructure of a data warehouse with other infrastructure components like my enterprise service bus or potentially enterprise information integration, a whole other piece of architecture where operational systems move data back and forth? I think the thing to keep in mind is focus on what your needs are, then determine what's the best fit. Be very honest with you, given the maturity of data warehousing in most organizations, something as simple as hub and spoke or a bus architecture just isn't sufficient. There's too many needs, so you actually have to apply some well-known architectural approaches and then build it out to support the specific needs of your environment.
Given the popularity of enterprise services buses, E2, and master data management, are there issues or details that folks should consider when reviewing the hub-and-spoke architecture?
Absolutely, and we just touched on it a bit. I mean, if you take a look at why an enterprise application integration or the passing of messages between applications came into existence, it was because there was an extreme need for two or three operational applications or many more to share data. If you take a look at the enterprise service bus, the whole premise was, how do I have a standard pipe to move data back and forth between systems? Take a look at enterprise information integration, that's the whole idea of being able to retrieve data quickly and easily without having to understand all the navigation components. Well, the fact is, creating pipes between systems is the easy part. The real challenge occurs is, what does the data need to look like, and how quickly must I get it, and who needs to share it? The things that I'd have people consider when they're starting to approach their hub-and-spoke architecture or their data integration architecture activities is, don't put your blinders on and only look at the data warehouse. I think what one should consider is, when they're looking at data from an individual source system, what other extracts or what other systems is that source system supporting? What types of cleansing and or standardization has already been built so you're not redoing it? More importantly, the whole game of, can I leverage what's been built so I'm not wasting time, becomes very, very critical. But I'd say the two things to look at when you're developing your hub-and-spoke architecture or your data propagation architecture, quite simply, is, do I have pipes from the sources to my data warehouse? And what shape is the data in when I receive it, and how much work is necessary to modify it? This presumption that the data warehouse owns what the enterprise definition of data is, I think, very, very immature. The fact is, we have lots of systems, lots of reporting tools, all looking at data a particular way. It's important to try and address the needs of the majority, if at all possible, because you're not going to make everybody happy. So then the question becomes, how do I build an integration infrastructure that can support the data warehouse, but also leverage some of the things that have been built across different systems?
Okay, now how does data governance play a role in all this?
Well, you know, that's the piece that I think everybody neglects. Data governance, real quickly, the concept is, there's two pieces. There's the policy-based issue of information sharing and conflict resolution, things like customer privacy, corporate sharing, compliance. All those things are information policy details that a company typically defines or identifies. You then have the aspect of, what are the standard terms that we use to communicate about the information we're talking about? The common concept is, well, what is a customer? How do we define it? Concept of household. You then have the pieces called data management, which are the tactical aspects of implementing these policies and rules and details. in the technology itself. So things like standardized naming conventions of columns, standardized value representations. So, for example, the field called sex, does it include M and F? Do you represent the values as male or female or whatever? I mean, I think the thing that people need to keep in mind is we go off and build this hub-and-spoke architecture where we move data back and forth. And once again, if you're not careful, you build it as an independent silo based upon the needs of an application or two or a business group or two. And the fact is that is absolutely the wrong approach. The fact is one needs to be cognizant of the data governance or data management rigor that already exists within a company and, in fact, conform this migration and integration method against the rigor that already exists. It's not about three people agreeing on what the right answer is, so I get the three different stakeholders. It's about what work has already occurred within the company, what standards already exist for things like representing a customer or a customer name or an address or a household, and then ensuring that this architecture of moving data in and out of a data warehouse supports that. I go back to, it's not just about the pipes connecting the systems. It's about what does that data actually look like and what's been done to ensure that it's the most usable. So the whole issue of why data governance is important is it's about how the data will be interpreted and used. So you can't go build a migration or a data warehouse architecture without being cognizant of the business issues or corporate decisions that have already been made. Unfortunately, very often an ETL architecture is designed, a data warehouse or data mart is built with the needs of the business users with little or no attention to the overall corporate responsibilities or obligations one needs to align to.
Is there any risk that today's hub-and-spoke architecture could become tomorrow's data silo?
In fact, I've often been accused of stating that. My biggest worry is you find that a data warehouse is built as a silo, independent of everybody else. They've done a wonderful job of pulling data off of an individual source system. They've enriched it. Maybe they're using third-party content. The business users are very, very happy because they're able to generate the reports, or the individuals with data marts can get the data they need. And one of the challenges you inevitably see is what happens when a source system changes, because that happens all the time. And inevitably, the data warehouse is surprised because a source file or an extract has been modified, and no one knew about it. I think this is the perfect example where if you're not careful, the data warehouse and the associated ETL and integration infrastructure is built in an island into and of itself. It's very, very important as data integration evolves within a company, I don't have lots and lots of disparate integration processing. In fact, we recently had a meeting here at Baseline with one of our clients, CIO, and the point that was brought up is, you know something, one of the biggest areas of custom development, in fact, the big moose on the table, is a lot of IT organizations don't realize that the ETL or the data integration development and the associated staff and maintenance and resources are starting to exceed, in fact, many of the underlying applications and those staff members and resources that they're supporting. Because for every two or three applications, a lot of people have built their own little ETL infrastructure. So we have to be careful that when we're implementing a data warehouse environment, that in fact we can leverage what exists, or be careful that what we've built is not yet another legacy set of processing or another silo. I think it's very, very important to challenge the paradigm and continually look at, are we moving data in the most efficient manner? Is there some way that with an economies of scale approach, we can consolidate this data integration processing across potentially not only multiple marts and warehouses, but other operational systems that move data back and forth? So yes, that is an enormous risk.
Great, Evan. This has been a very informative conversation. Thanks again for joining us today.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, and I'll look forward to hopefully seeing some email or talking to you in the future.
Thanks again to Evan Levy for sharing his insight on hub-and-spoke data warehouse architecture. And thanks to our listeners for being here. Be sure to visit searchdatamanagement.com to find more podcasts and information about data warehousing, business intelligence, and other data management topics. Until next time, I'm Justin McCoyne for searchdatamanagement.com.